Hi all. Just before I start this podcast, I'd just like to give out my sincere well wishes to all the family members that lost someone in the elementary school shooting at Texas, and I hope that their healing process can start soon. Also, fair warning to anyone that might be triggered by gun violence or movies that have weapons or killings in it. This episode contains a movie about assassins shooting each other, and also in another movie about a serial killer. So with that, just like to warn you if you do have a trigger warning of any kind when it comes to this problems or situations. And thank you for your time. Here we go. Hello internet, and welcome to another episode of JL Plays, the podcast with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him. Where I talk about animes, movies, TV shows, and anything that tickles my fancy, where you can find it on your favorite podcast of choice, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple's iTunes, and now on Patreon, with Patreon exclusives like early access to upcoming episodes, bonus episodes, and soon, hopefully, video episodes, all for the Patreons. And just like to say, I hope you're all having a wonderful week. And if you're not, keep your head up. I'm sure it will turn around for you. And with that, what will I be talking about? Well, this week I will be talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus. Memory, now streaming on your VODs. And Midnight, a Korean movie that came out last year. Oh my god. Wow. So much fun that was. And with that, let's go into what have I been watching. Well, I've been watching one amazing thing and one alright thing. And in that being The Lost City, starring Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. Yeah, that movie was a lot more surprising than I thought it would be. Maybe because my expectations were so low for it, but I did have a good time with it. Yes, it was very dumb. It was very all over the place. But I did have a good time because my expectations were so low. It was a decent film. There's a cameo there from in the first 30, 40 minutes of the film. And that cameo leaves suddenly. So, yeah, look out for that. If you are going to watch it, that is. But if you do or don't, this is a movie that you can pass on if you like. The premise of it doesn't hit your fancy, you're not missing much at all, so don't worry about it. But if you are into anime, boy do I have one for you, and that is called Yowamushi Petal. It has two seasons on Netflix, and you can find it on other platforms to watch, because honestly, don't watch it on Netflix at all, unless you just want to check it out real quick, see if you like it. Yeah, watch it there. Because the subtitles are horrific. They're really bad. At times, I couldn't even read them because it was white on a white background. They don't even have shadowing in them. They don't even explain. If somebody gets a text message, they don't even explain what the text message is saying. You just have to assume it's about someone or about something. Or just wait for the next scene where they meet that person and you go, oh, that's what the text message was about. But the anime itself is about bike riding. And I don't mean like motorcycle bikes. I mean like bicycle bikes. Like, you know, yeah, just bicycles. It's really good. It feeds you a lot of information about bicycles and how they work, techniques, how to shift, how, when to do this, when to do that. Just like a typical anime, it gives you a lot of backstory. Like, for instance, you meet a character in like maybe in an episode or two later, you hear the character's entire backstory on how he learned how to do one specific move, or how why he became, you know, bicycle riding or bike rider, and all that, and wanted to do, you know, pursue it as a sport, and as a career, whatever. Yeah, this series is atypical. You've seen it before. Is Goku, kid who's been doing something the wrong way for many years, but because he's been doing it the wrong way, he's been able to get his body tuned into that field, being martial arts, and put in this case is bicycles. Because of that, he has a knack for it, and he starts liking bicycles and everything like that, and he wants to start racing, and he joins the bicycle club or the bike club in his school. And yeah, it's one of those, you know, person out of nowhere comes up and starts, you know, becoming super strong and super powerful, and starts being able to beat people he shouldn't have been able to beat. But that's the series in general. But it is extremely fun. The reason I'm recommending this is because I'm just starting to get into bike riding again since forever. So, and this series just, I'm like, all right, you know, I'm getting into it. Might as well watch and see what it's about. And I'm honestly intrigued. Again, the only drawback about the series, that it is an anime and it falls into those anime shonen style where a battle takes 10 episodes to complete. You know, that's the way it goes. And this is no different. The second race that they show you here with this character, with the main character, it took like 4 to 5 episodes to finish. Just that one race. And he didn't even finish the race. He only made it 75% of the way because of what happened in the story. And quite frankly, it's understandable. But still, that's how much of a ridiculous arcs you have to, you know, get into. But yeah, again, check it out. If this intrigues you, I think it's a very cool anime. It's a sports anime. They have basketball ones if you're into basketball. If you're into boxing, look for Hajime no Ippo, one of the greatest sports animes ever created. That is, for me, the pinnacle of sports animes is Hajime no Ippo. So, yeah, check this out. Again, it's the name is Yowamushi Pedal. And you got the first 2 seasons on Netflix. And if you start enjoying it, I suggest you stop and find it someplace else to watch. That gives you better subtitles. Unfortunately, this series is not dubbed at all. And with that out the way, let's move on to the first topic of the week, which is Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus.
They're coming. Stay hidden, or we will not survive.
Leave us alone.
When the time comes, he must be trained.
Like you trained his father?
Wrong places. I want every lowlife and bounty hunter to squeeze him.
You can't run, Obi-Wan! You can't escape him!
Okay, that was the trailer for Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus, starring Ian McGregor. And that's all I'm going to talk about. A quick synopsis for this is discover what happens during Obi-Wan Kenobi's 19 years in hiding on Tatooine. The Jedi Master finds himself residing on the sand-covered planet as part of his mission to stay nearby Luke Skywalker and ensure he is safe from the Empire. But what untold adventures occurred during this dark time? And you won't find out, because they're only going to give you one adventure, because this series is only 6 episodes long. And the first 2 episodes are really one giant long episode that they broke down into 2, which is a huge cop-out. Already, this series is already starting off bad. Before I go any further, let me just say I dislike the series extremely. These first 2 episodes left me absolutely dry. And not in a good way. It didn't leave me thirsty for more. It just left me dry. Like, I don't want to see anymore. And unfortunately, I know I'm going to go see more. This series is going to suck, just like Boba Fett did. But I'm going to go right into spoilers. So here we go. Spoilers. And this doesn't even deserve the bumper, because this series was just that bad, as far as I'm concerned. The first two episodes, utter garbage. It starts off with the Inquisitors hunting down Jedi. They just happen to be on Tatooine, hunting down this other Jedi, but yet almost catches the Jedi. But they let him get away because the Inquisitor leader wants to, you know, have him leave so he can lead him to other Jedis, I guess. Or he likes the thrill of the hunt. I don't know. It really begs me to understand. And then they have this other character, this Inquisitor also, which pisses me off. It's one of those characters that, oh, I'm not going to listen to you. You might be the captain in charge of me and this crew, but I'm still going to be disobeying you and still going to be pissed off at you because you're telling me to stop doing something that I want to do, even though I'm supposed to be following your orders because you're my commanding officer. It is such an awful trope. I'm sick of seeing that. I see that in the Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which I enjoy the series. The series is great, except for that freaking one character that's constantly just saying, no, I'm going to go attack, even though the captain just said, don't attack. We're staying still. Don't attack. No, I'm going to go attack. I just said, don't attack. Oh my God, that shit irritates me. But yeah, we got one here. We got the same thing here, but the difference is this Inquisitor freaking ends up killing their captain or their general because she wants to catch Obi-Wan Kenobi no matter what. Because of the whole, you know, Clone Wars and all that shit, he escaped from her. And now Obi-Wan Kenobi's been hiding Tatooine. He's been looking after Luke in secret. And then all of a sudden we travel to where Princess Leia's at. And then from there, we see her little story. I'm like, oh, why are they showing us Princess Leia? This isn't, I guess they showed us Luke. I guess they didn't show us Princess Leia. No, this is a lone wolf and cub storyline where Obi-Wan Kenobi's now got to do an escort mission, just like the Mandalorian did with Grogu. Because Princess Leia gets captured and kidnapped so they can bring out Obi-Wan Kenobi from hiding. So the Inquisitors themselves, I mean, can bring out Obi-Wan Kenobi from hiding and capture him. All this was a trap set by this female Inquisitor that wants to catch Obi-Wan Kenobi very bad. And the head Inquisitor finds out. And then once Obi-Wan Kenobi is able to save Princess Leia from the people that kidnapped her, he's about to escape. And that's when he meets up with her and he does a whole little dancing battle. The head Inquisitor tries to stop the female Inquisitor and she gets pissed off and she stabs him right through his chest cavity or whatever. And then he falls down. We think he's dead. Who knows? He's probably not dead because this character actually comes back in a future storyline, so they can't kill him off. So we'll see. But the fact that they're retconning shit already with Princess Leia meeting Obi-Wan Kenobi. Oh, sorry, not Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ben Kenobi, because he changed his name from Obi-Wan Kenobi, he changed it to Ben Kenobi. So, technically, Princess Leia never met Obi-Wan. Yeah, the reason I bring that up is because in episode 4, you know, from the original Star Wars trilogy, the first movie to ever come out back in 1977, the message that she leaves in R2-D2 is to Obi-Wan Kenobi, where she states, you helped my father in the Clone Wars. You know, we are in trouble. Please, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope. So Princess Leia has never met Obi-Wan Kenobi, doesn't know what the hell he looks like. Thus, she sends that message in that way. Here, they're retconning that. That's pretty much a retcon because now she's met him. So she should know who the hell Ben Kenobi is. Even though, you know, Ben Kenobi is a Jedi. She figures out he's a Jedi because she's a spoiled little brat. Oh, by the way, another trope that they do here, especially with Princess Leia, child Princess Leia. She doesn't listen to adults because she's too smart. She's too smart for her own good. Bullshit that they come up with. Yeah, she's sassy. She's rambunctious. You know, she knows what's going on and all this crap. But yet, she's still a little kid. And she's going to do stupid things. Like, run away from the man that saved her life from those kidnappers. Yeah, because all of a sudden, she won't let him explain why there are bounty hunters after him. But yet, so she runs away. But she won't let him explain why. And then at the end of the episode, that, by the way, that's in all this is in episode 2. Then at the ending, they escape in the little transport. We also have this guy being a fake Jedi, making believe he's a Jedi, and he's helping people to escape and stuff like that with kids with force powers or whatnot. This character is played by Emil Jimianji. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I don't know. He's a comedian. He was in The Eternals. He was the Indian guy in The Eternals. So you know who he is once you see him here. And yeah, this thing really pissed me off because it has all these tropes I hate. You're retconning a thing for no good reason. Disney is literally killing Star Wars. Kathleen Kennedy specifically is literally killing Star Wars. And I'm not even a Star Wars fan. I fucking don't give a shit about Star Wars. But if you're going to make a fucking series, make it good. Stop giving me horseshit. Like, I am sick and tired of watching these quote-unquote beloved series or movies or franchises or whatever, and then I'm getting horseshit fed to me instead of freaking a nice Michelin star meal. They have all the money, and quite frankly, they spend a good amount of money on this series, because you can see it on the screen where they spend all the money. They spend a good amount of money, but I guess they skipped out on the freaking writing team. I guess they got some freaking interns to write this series. But yeah, sorry, I've been rambling for way too long about this. I did not think I was going to ramble this long. But yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it for the Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi series. And with that, let's move on. But before we do, just remember that you can reach me on Twitter at jailplace78 or by email jailplacepodcast@gmail.com and let me know whether I am right or wrong about my thoughts on any show or any movie that I've seen or talked about this week or any other week. Also, don't forget that you can support me on Patreon at patreon.com/jailplays. And everything I talk about, including links to the Patreon, to the email, and to Twitter, are all in the show notes. So, with all that said, let's move on to the next topic, and that being Memory, starring Liam Neeson.
I'm the Batman. Have been for a long time.
That's three people likely killed with the same weapon.
What's that?
Found him on the floor.
Your shooter's losing his mind.
Anything else I can do for you?
The room number again?
It's on the key holder.
Ah.
The retainer for your services is $10 million.
No.
Call the contract off. I don't hurt children, ever.
Listen to me very carefully. The girl stays alive. You're answerable to me.
Which side of this do you really want to be on?
On justice. We all have to die. What's important is what you do before you go.
And that was the trailer for Memory, starring Liam Neeson, Guy Pearce, Harold Torres, and Monica Bellucci. Now, a quick synopsis for this is, Alex, an assassin for hire, finds that he's become a target after he refuses to complete a job for a dangerous criminal organization, with the crime syndicate and FBI in hot pursuit. Alex has the skill to stay ahead, except for one thing. He is struggling with severe memory loss, affecting his every move. Alex must question his every action and whom he can ultimately trust. And yes, Liam Neeson is Alex, and yes, it is important on what you do before you go. No, I did enjoy this movie. This movie was extremely fun for me. It was a lot more entertaining than I thought it was. It was definitely a little bit long in the tooth. But the reason I had a blast with it is because I got to see Liam Neeson act again. Holy cow. Liam Neeson was actually acting in most of this film. Not all of it, but he was acting in most of it, which I found awesome. I could not believe how great he actually is. I honestly forgot how good of an actor he was because all I've seen him in such roles as Taken 2, Taken 3, Taken but not Taken, Taken but not Taken 2, that other Taken, but it's not Taken. You know, all these not Taken roles that, you know, we all seen him in the last few, you know, 6-7 years. And yeah, here he's acting. And it's great. Here, he plays an assassin that has memory loss Alzheimer's. That's what he has, Alzheimer's. And yeah, he's just on the run now because he refused to kill a target, which was the little girl.
Ah, spoilers!
The little girl was a target. He refused to kill her. So the people that, you know, called the hit on this girl are the ones now calling the hit on him because he went to attack them and tell them to stop, remove the hit on this girl because I'm not going to do it. So they called his bosses and now they sent someone to kill him. And then he ends up killing the guy that they sent to kill him. And from there, we go on this whole spiral. Who done it? What's going on with the FBI? You know, how far does this rabbit hole go on the corruption and the people behind this assassination attempt? It's all done well for the most part. Is it a standout, amazing film? Absolutely not. But again, I did have fun with it. Remember what type of movie we're talking about. This is just an action shoot 'em up. And definitely not was expecting from this film. And definitely there's a lot of guns here. And especially after what just happened with another school shooting. A lot of people might not want to see this. I just feel like we still have to talk about a film like this anyway. It's not the film's fault that we had a disgusting coward go and do a school shooting. And a bunch of more cowards outside in police uniforms, you know, doing nothing but standing there. It's not the film's fault. But it does deal with killings and killing a child, for that matter, or at least a 16-year-old child. It's still a child. And that might be off-putting for a lot of people. And unfortunately, it's just bad timing on all counts. So just remember that if you are a person that gets easily triggered by stuff, or a person that can't separate fact from fiction, or fiction from reality for that matter, you're going to see a lot of shooting here and a lot of people dying. Again, we get to see Liam Neeson act. I saw this I think a week before that incident. So, but yeah. If you're just a person that wants some escapism and maybe down the line you might want to check this out, go ahead. But if it's too soon for a lot of you, and I know it probably is way too soon, so there's the reason I'm using the disclaimer. Now, hopefully I remember to put a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode also. But yeah, this movie has a lot of shooting, there's a lot of deaths, and it just talks on a lot of big things, but in little bits and pieces. It doesn't try to give a message or anything. This is not a movie that has a message. This is just a movie. Plain and simple. No message in this movie. It's just a movie. Nothing more. With that, if you remember to watch Memory, give it a shot maybe in 3-4 months from now. Maybe 6-7 months, maybe even a year, you know. Hopefully we just don't have any more school shootings or just mass shootings in general. But we live in America, and that's extremely doubtful. And with that sour note, sorry to put a damper. Please be safe out there and protect yourselves and just be visual of your surroundings. So with that, let's move on to the main event, which is Midnight.
내가 다 왔다고 말했잖아. 보고? 보고는 무슨 보고?
그거 건들면 너 죽는다. 내가 말했잖아, 건들지 말라고. 내 목소린 들리지도 않고 경고등도 꺼졌고 쟤는 어쩌냐?
살았네. And that was a quick trailer for Midnight, starring Jin Ki-ju, Wi Ha-jun, Park Hoon, and Ki Hee-yeon, just to name some of this cast. And a quick synopsis for this is, a serial killer ruthlessly hunts down a deaf woman through the streets of Seoul, Korea, after she witnesses his brutal crime. Now, just like the synopsis says, this is about a deaf girl and her deaf mother being hunted by this serial killer. He tries to pick up women, you know, weirdly, but in general, he's just a crazy person. This has some major suspense, some major thrills. It does have a few stab scenes. There is some blood, but nothing major because this is Asian cinema. So you really don't get to see a lot. But it is really good. This is a great surprise for me, because I wasn't expecting much watching the, you know, when I first saw this, I saw a quick trailer for it. I'm like, okay, this looks interesting. I'll check it out. And yeah, I honestly was pleasantly surprised, because again, I did not expect much or anything from this. And yes, I've seen this trope before a lot of times, but at the same time, it is really refreshing on how they did certain things. And my only complaint about the film, I will say, is that in certain scenes and certain situations, it drags just a bit too long. Like, this is a giant cat and mouse game from the get-go. You would know this as a giant cat and mouse game. She's the mouse, he's the cat, and at the end, it flips. She becomes Smart Jerry, and he becomes Dumb Tom, because he becomes obsessed with catching her and, you know, killing her. Towards the end, it's no longer about wanting to kill her. It's now about him having to kill her, because now he's obsessed about her and he has to kill her now. And that's all great. I love the aspect. I love the progression of the characters on how they turn from how they go and play this whole thing.
Well, it does have...
Yeah, spoilers!
There's a whole sequence when they're both at a police station, and then they finally figures out that he's actually the killer. And by the way, there's also a father who's looking for his daughter that is the girl that she ran into that he stabbed. That's the reason why he's after her in the first place. So we have him, and we have a situation where the father gets tricked by him to leave him alone with the girl. And I just, wow. This movie has a lot of twists and turns and a lot of little plot points. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. This is so thrilling. This kept me at the edge of my seat. By the way, just to give you how good this movie is, I started watching this around 1 o'clock in the morning. I was extremely tired. I wanted to go to sleep, but I could not stop watching this film. That's how engaging this film is. That's how suspenseful this film is, because this is really a suspenseful thriller. and again, a giant cat and mouse game. It is really good. The only problem I had with it really was the ending. The ending had a three-ending structure, which sucked. Because you had ending one where it should have ended. Then you had another ending which it should have ended there. And then you had the final ending. And for me, the only reason I hate the final ending is because it's literally the exact same ending from a different film just shot with these actors. It took place in the exact same location in Seoul, and it pretty much happened almost exactly the same. For me, that was the biggest disappointment for it, because it's literally an ending that was in another film from a few years back. It wasn't like this, they filmed it at the same time. No, this, that other ending was from a film years back, and this one just redid it. I don't know if it was the same director or writer. I will have to look and see. But yeah, that was the biggest disappointment about the film for me, was the actual ending with the bad guy and the girl, with the serial killer and the girl. But I do like the whole stabbing sequence that they both had at the ending part also. I thought that was really, really smart. Even though I did see it coming, but it was still smart to do. I'm pretty sure when it released in theaters, it caught a lot of people off guard. And they'll probably catch you off guard too. So, but it might not now that you know that something like that is coming. But yeah, again, if you haven't seen this, check it out. It's for rental on iTunes, or pretty much I think any VOD for that matter. It's definitely, definitely a good film to watch. It is worth your time. And I want to apologize just one time before I finish up and say that sorry for a lot of these two movies, Memory and Midnight, are extremely dark and are all have to do with deaths or death in general. Just sorry about that. It's just dark again, you know. So, but again, enjoy yourselves with this film. It's really fun film to watch. And with that, thank you for staying this long. Thank you for returning if you're a returning listener. And if you're a new listener, thank you for listening and choosing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast, again, I have a Patreon, patreon.com/jlplays. Again, I have perks like early access to upcoming episodes, also bonus episodes, where I just take a 20 minute or 15 to 20 minute dive into one specific movie or TV show. I call those minisodes. So yeah, if you like this podcast and if you're able to support it on Patreon, or support it by sharing it with your friends, sharing it on Twitter or anywhere else. Again, thank you all for listening. And don't forget, if you agree with me or disagree with me, you can reach me on jlplayspodcast@gmail.com or at twitter.com/jlplays78. And with that, thank you all again. And remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it. And treat others the way you wish to be treated.